Blog Talk Radio.
I am Mother Nature, I am the universe. I can make a miracle from a twisted curse. But my soul is getting weaker as the earth heart fades. People terrorize and spread their hate. Will humanity awaken before it's too late? I am Mother Nature.
Everybody, I had to cut that off soon. Good evening, everyone. This is Luann Fleming. You're listening to Faceless Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed Channel, The Inside Scoop. I'm with my other co-host. I do have Robin with us. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Welcome to the show, everyone. So glad you could tune in tonight.
Good, good. I'm not sure if Marcy or Hillary is coming on tonight, but I will put them in as we see them. Anyway, today is April 1st, 2020, and tonight we welcome back Kara Salver. And she is a hospice survivor. She was on our radio show last week, and she had a lot of information for everybody to share. And let me give you a little bit of background on her first. Let's see, Kara is from Pearland, Texas. She's a hospice survivor, as I mentioned before. Kara finally received her medical records. Now, remember, she was put into hospice for 2 years. And she says, I have to admit, reading what seems like a horror novel and remembering that it's about me, wow, it's been very hard. You would not believe what I have been reading. I feel that it's necessary in order to get the truth and make people aware of what really goes on, even if you're not in a guardianship. Kara Salver has epilepsy and is legally blind. Kara was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, or was it a misdiagnosis? Kara survived 2.5 years on hospice. We have a lot to talk about. Robin, do we have anything first to say before we bring Kara back on?
I am eager to get into this story. This is such a compelling story. The implications address the whole situation that we have in the world today with the way that we look at people as commodities and tend to value them. And I think that's something that I hope that we're changing, and I hope that we're bringing to people's attention, because this is a story that shows how far our society has moved towards a kind of a genocide is okay kind of mindset, and it's not. And so I'm really eager to talk with our guest tonight.
Yeah, it's very interesting with all the pandemic going on, and I'm waiting for other people to come on to the radio show, and it's just everything's in so much chaos. I mean, you can barely get to the stores. I'm constantly going to the doctor's office for some reason. Maybe it's the stress bringing all this on. I'm not sure. But it's one thing after another. And I want to, you know, express all my condolences to all the families of the people that have died from the pandemic, the COVID-19, I think it is. And it's just really sad to hear how all the families are in lockdown. This is not only in our state. This is across the nation and globally. But I am grateful for a few things that it has brought to the attention of is our seniors and how they are putting them first and they're letting them go into the stores first. I think that's a really big improvement. I really do. Above everything else that, I'm really glad. And that's the handicapped people, too, as well. So I'm really glad to have seen that. And I'm just really glad that a lot of people are pitching in and they're helping others. I think this is one thing that everybody has overlooked, and I'm just really glad that people are paying attention and they're willing to help each other now. And I think a lot of these movie actors and stuff are all coming together. Dolly Parton's going to be doing a story time, and she's donating $1 million of her money to help out some testing and some other drugs that are good for the COVID-19 virus. So I'm really glad that a lot of people are coming together and being together in this. Now, I want everybody to remember that we are all in isolation. Can you imagine what the families are out there like when their loved ones are in isolation? They do this every single day. They're not allowed to go traveling. They're not allowed to go visit their friends. They're not allowed to go to the store. They're not allowed to do anything at all. They're not even allowed to receive phone calls. At least in our isolation, we have a little bit of that that we can do. We can still call people. But keep that in mind when you're listening to this broadcast. Now, Kara was never in a guardianship, but everything that has happened to her is so identical to what happens, especially when you end up in the guardianship and you go to the very end stage of life and you end up in hospice. But she has a terrific story. I mean, I'm not going to say terrific. I'm going to say a horrific, terrific story that she's letting other people know what it's like to be in hospice and all the things that go along with that. So I want to welcome Kara to the show. Kara, you with
Hello.
Us?
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Kara. Welcome to the show.
I'm not sure where our other radio show hosts. I'm sure that they're probably going to take the night off. That's okay with me. They've been Marcy and Hillary have been absolutely wonderful. I can't tell you enough. They've both come a long way. And I want everybody to know that Marcy is able to see her mom right now, but under, of course, the virus is stopping a lot of that from going on. So I just want to let everybody know that they went ahead and came to terms, but she's still not able to see her mom. So let's keep Marcy in our prayers and Hillary, that everybody stays well, you know, and all of our families. So anyway, Kara, go ahead and just tell us real briefly about what happened to you and give everybody the general idea. If they didn't hear our show last week, then get filled in for this week.
Okay. Well, I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy back in 2012, adult muscular dystrophy, onset muscular dystrophy, and then I was put on hospice in 2016, and I was on hospice for 2.5 years, and it was a horrifying experience, and they tried to kill me over and over and over and over again, and mm-hmm. I'm still here to tell the tale, and I did not realize, and I've been fighting all this time from 2018, when I was discharged off of hospice and went through the total withdrawals by myself. Been fighting to get my medical records from the hospice agencies, and I just received the records, 4 pounds of medical records from January 6, 2016 to May of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed you a picture. I sent you a picture, Luann, of just the month of November.
Right. Yeah, and in one of your notes that they sent to me, that you sent to me, that was so disturbing to say the least, they sent you this thing called the Comfy Kit. And
yes.
I just want everybody to look at that. I'm trying to find my email back that you sent me. And
yes. It's
quite disturbing to tell you the truth, because medications that's in there, the medications that they have in there will take you out.
Yes.
And I noticed that they're all suppositories. I guess it's because
it's
easier,
except
quickest way.
Except for the haloperidol is sublingual, and the Roxanol is sublingual.
Right.
And the lorazepam was sublingual.
Right. But this was all, it's called a comfy kit. I mean,
yes.
I'm looking at this, I'm just sort of, when you see it sitting in front of you, it's a different feeling than anything I've ever, I thought it, well, a comfy kit, I mean, that's called
basically
murder if you're not ready to go. That could have easily taken you out. All of medications could have easily taken you out, but you survived that to tell your story.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I did. And I did not realize why I kept that all of this time. But I knew someday it might be extremely important. Not that the medications in it I would ever use at all. They'd expired. But that there was a reason why I just had this feeling, I never felt any comfort coming from that refrigerator, my mini fridge in my bedroom, ever, at all. I only got mainly hallucinations and pain and more fighting from that little cardboard box with comfy kit written on it. And it was, I just kept it, just like so many other things that are now evidence. They're not medical records. They're not a history. They're not just memories. They're not, they are, it is evidence that I have. And I've been going through all of this, and I have to just say, wow, I could not have done this without help, you know, some help. I have a very good friend who's been helping me go through these records. But what I've been reading myself is I can't believe I'm here. I really can't.
No,
I should
neither,
not be here.
Neither can any of us either. Neither can any of us. But I brought you back onto the radio show because a lot of people – you know, there was a lot of discussion afterwards, and you also mentioned that there was a lot of things that you can file to get back your medical records, and a lot of people don't know how to do that. You know, a lot of people don't know how to go after these guardians. Go ahead.
Well, all you have to do is call them. That is your right. Those are your records. Okay, if your name is on them, then that belong to you, not them. And you do not have to pay a penny for them. A lot of them want to charge you money for these records, and you do not have to pay a dime.
Right, and a lot of people will be told, oh, you can't have your records. That simply is not true, though.
No.
Because you have your right. You have the right. To get everything that you need. And that's why I want everybody to understand this, listening to the radio show. You have a right to your own medical records.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not sure that if you're in guardianship and you were not in guardianship, I'm still not sure if the ward is able to have those because, you know, like I say, they strip everything away from the people that are in guardianship. You know, they take away their rights completely. So I'm not sure if they can call up. Now, I know that you could call up and get, you can also find out information about the IRS. And let me tell you about some of these forms that you put on there. It's called, here are the forms that Kara Stalzert mentioned on the radio show last week. And you posted it on her show. It's called Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards Face Us. It's on Facebook. And you said the IRS Form 2848, Power of Attorney and Declaration of Representative. There's also an IRS Form 56 Notice Concerning Fiduciary Relationship. And these are forms that you could get. And then the Department of Treasury Internal Revenue Service Form 3949, and it's a formal referral. And you can use this form to report suspected tax fraud or tax law violations by a person or a business, and then the IRS form 13909 tax and it's an exempt organization complaint referral. You have an IRS 990 return of organization exempt from income tax, IRS 990 PF return of private foundation, then IRS form 1023, 1024, and 8871. Well, that's a lot of information in there that you have the right to go and file.
Exactly. And also, if you suspect any type of health code violation, you can report them a facility to the health code department. You can also, report them to the fire marshal. Have everyone, the gas company, the electric company, go out there. You can request that. That is your right to have them go and make sure that any facility, any private public facility that people are in or have access to, enter and exit out of or work in or out of live in or don't live in, you have that right to make sure that these places of business are safe. So we
right.
have other avenues as well.
Right, and we talk a lot about guardianship abuse, and we talk a lot on our show about hospice people because it's always the end result of guardianships, and everybody you notice always ends up in hospice. Now, my mom was very fortunate. We had a really good hospice center that took her, and they knew what kind of work I did, and I told them, don't be giving my mama any drugs, and they ordered it, but they didn't have to give it to her. She died peacefully in a coma, so... That's the part is putting people, on hospice. And obviously you weren't ready to go into hospice. You weren't ready to die. But they kept giving you drugs like you were,
Yeah, I have to say something to everyone out there. One of the things that they do that is most heartbreaking is they involve the family into giving some of these medications as the primary caregiver when they're at home at these lethal doses of medication without realizing that they are, they don't realize that, and they facilitate, it's heartbreaking that the unsuspecting family members, they have them, without their knowledge of what the drugs do or what they are or what the doses mean, have them actually give those medications to their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's part.
This is such a devious criminal activity to
yes.
because and. What it is an abuse of authority. You have a person in authority of a doctor who has the medical license and who presumably is the one that's in charge of taking care of the, quote, health, unquote, of the person.
Yeah.
And they say to the primary caregiver, which may be a daughter, a son, a spouse, they say, listen, this is what this person needs. And you're going to be assisting them by making sure that they get their medicine. Don't let them go without this medicine. You make sure they get it. And what the person doesn't know, because they're not the professional, they're not the individual that has studied and researched these medicines, they don't know what it is that they're actually doing. The doctor, of course, knows. The person prescribing that medicine, of course, knows that what they're doing is giving someone a dose of medicine that adds up to a lethal dose. You're actually facilitating the death of this person. And you put the person that loves that person and is trying to take care of them and make them happy and comfortable in the position of killing them unknowingly. This is horrific.
Robin,
but it happens.
Another thing that they do is they have the family members give them medications. They don't understand what they do or the counter effects that they may have, and then it causes hallucinations, for example, agitation, adverse reactions, and then when the patient on hospice is hallucinating or out of control or combative, then they come back on the loved one and say, well, this is not a safe environment. You're not doing right. You must be doing something wrong. Then they turn the tables on the loved ones and then use that as an open door to take that hospice patient out of the home and put them in their facility and gain even more control over them. And then that causes, it's horrible. It's evil personified.
Right. You can easily trigger, if you can manipulate the drugs that go into the system of someone, and you know that the side effects of a drug are hallucinations, perhaps aggressive behavior, loss of control, a lack of the ability to distinguish between reality and dreams, lack of the ability to know that you are in a violent state of mind, and all of a sudden you have this person that you pushed into a state of mind that makes them psychotic, makes them act psychotic.
Right.
Then you point the finger at the family. Well, if what your intention is to gain control of, let's say, family assets, or maybe it's not family assets, maybe it's the government assets that come with the control of that individual. If they have a nice, for instance, we see a lot of veterans that have a nice government paycheck that comes, and if they are taken into a facility and that paycheck is then assigned to a guardian, then you can have someone that's making $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month, or more. They're, you know, depending on how the whole arrangement of things is. Sometimes you can also get pharmaceutical kickbacks by giving drugs to these individuals, and then you get them on the drugs. You, unbeknownst to the family members, you say, yes, you've got to make sure they're taking these drugs. So they're doing what they've been told. And then the person is becoming violent and agitated. And then they come back and say, oh, look, they're violent and agitated. Obviously, you don't know how to take care of them. We're going to have to take them away and make sure that they're getting the care that they need. I see what you mean.
Okay, here's an example. I have right here in my medical records listed on my allergy list, I am allergic to Neurontin, which is gabapentin, is one of my allergies. Now, they turned around and they gave me gabapentin 300 milligrams PO liquid 2 times a day. Then in the medical records, they turned around and said, DC'd gabapentin due to allergy.
Yeah.
So they were giving medication. It states right here, I'm allergic. It's listed in my allergies. I'm allergic to this medication on 1/6/2016. And then on 12/13/2016, here it is listed, drug including oxygen, gabapentin, 300 milligrams, PO liquid, you know, twice a day. And then they finally DC'd it. And
discontinued.
Yes, discontinued. DC means discontinued.
Yeah.
And there it was in the medical record, saying this person is allergic to this medicine, and they're giving it to you anyway. Well, there's only two ways that can happen. One is a complete lack of competence. Someone is completely incompetent who's doing this. Two is that there is actually malicious intent, that they gave it to you knowing that you're going to have an allergic reaction and intending for that to happen. And that's the only two possibilities. One is incompetence, gross negligence and incompetence. The other is malicious intent. So either one of those is completely unacceptable.
Well, what I find extremely unacceptable, and I sent Luann some of this, is that they admitted, they wrote down here that I had been overdosed, and it said then I quit taking my medications. Okay, patient has not taken her medication since Sunday, and so I was going through the withdrawals, And then they turned around and double dosed me and said that, I'm trying to find it. Then they turned around and said that, you know, they put me, used it as a reason because I had, you know, stopped my medication. They used it as a reason to turn around and put me in a facility. And then they gave me, they have written in here so many times, overdosed, over-sedated, over-medicated. And then to top it all off, they have written in here that patient needs to be instructed to take meds.
God. So much.
I hope that what people get out of this, I hope that what people understand is that this is a unique opportunity to understand something. This is one person with one story, but this is repeated over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Right.
10,000 times, 10,000 times throughout our nation and the world.
I have in here notes where I, you know, where is that one? I'm trying to find it. It says patient, I took my medication, RN found pile of meds on floor. Patient has history of hiding medication and spitting them out. So
well,
yeah.
You know,
they just
overdosed me. That would be the intelligent way to try to keep from dying.
Yes, I knew what was going on somewhere, and you know, I was trying. I knew it wasn't right. I knew it was all wrong, and there was something that just
right.
I kept
well,
on.
Another thing I want to talk about, Kira, is that. And it disturbs me a little bit to know that you were talking about a chaplain in there earlier. We can go ahead and mention that. About how you were talking with him and they send in medical reports as well. I mean, they give an observation of what they saw into the records, right? Are you still with us? Oh. Hold on. Kara must have jumped off the show for a second. Anyway, let's see if we can get her back on. All you have to do, Kara, is just call back in the show and I'll get you back on. But, you know, when you're in any kind of situation, you're in a hospice, you're in a hospital, everybody does reports when they're in there. That's whether chaplains, that's whether doctors, that's whether nurses, whatever. All that goes into your medical report. So anything you tell those people is going to go in there. So whatever you don't want them to know, don't tell them. You know, I never knew that. It just blows my mind that happens. Let's see if I can get Marcy in here while we're bringing Kara back on. Marcy?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah,
I'm Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. Thanks,
everybody. I'm good,
hi.
And you guys?
Good.
Stay
great.
Home. Keeping safe.
Keeping safe? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all in lockdown.
You know,
we're like those automated guardians.
I'm making good food every day. You guys should come down.
We can't go out of our house. Can't even come down yet.
I know, right? Oh, gosh. Well, that's the setup about all those medications that she was speaking about. I was just interpreting a letter for Mrs. Rojas, who had been taking care of her son for the past 19 years, who's disabled. And my gosh, she went to school to get him, and she couldn't find him anywhere. The guardian went in and took him without letting her know, and his father or the grandmother, and kept them isolated for a whole month. She didn't know where her son was. And, I mean, she took such good care of that boy. And now since his one guardian has had him, she's found him cold with dirty clothes. He has fallen. They put him in the chair, and they don't even strap him right because that could be bad for his spine. And without shoes, unkempt hair, just horrible. And now they want to move him to, since she found this out, the way that they were taking care of him, now, of course, they're going to move him and punish her for that. So, in punishing the boy, they want to move him 2 hours away. So he was used to being cared for and loved by his mama all the time.
Yeah.
That she won't be able to keep an eye on the care of her son. Imagine that. And she needed me to interpret the letter that she wrote. And by me interpreting, it was just so heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
It's going on in the United States of America. Imagine having your child and that happening to you. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's really bad.
It is really, really bad. And, I hope to God she gets it because they have, you can tell by the way she read me that letter, her whole heart and mind and emotions were wrapped up in that. Just terrible.
Yeah. And it's hard reporting on these kind of stories, but we do let the public aware of what is going on because anybody could be in these situations. It's not just people in Florida. It's all over the nation. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it is important to protect yourself, and we all have now because we're all aware that, that you are the guard, that you got all your papers in order. So to prevent these people from doing this and just appoint the right people that they're not going to let that happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they have to do. That's what else can you do? But she didn't have her son because she never thought that, would happen. But
a lot of people don't realize that. And that's why we created these shows, is to educate others. That's why we have these shows to educate others, to let them know what they could be in for. A lot of people have no idea what's going on in America. I mean, they're all focused right now on this virus right now. But I tell you what, guardianship abuse and all that is the same kind of corona in a way. It's the same isolation. It's people getting sick, people are dying, but it's a different form of that. So I'm hoping that one day we can get this guardianship abuse noticed, how horrible it is and how it is out of the family's hands, and it goes into some guardian who does not give a rat's ass what the family is about.
Yeah.
All they care about is making that extra paycheck,
And it's very important to read Dr. Sugar's book. The name just went off my mind, but Guardianship, the Perfect Crime by Dr. Sam Sugar. That's becoming very popular because he tells you exactly what to do to protect yourself. And everybody needs to read that book. And, of course, you were going to do a book, too. I don't know what happened to your book. Are you still going to do it?
Yeah, I'm still working on that. I'm working on it
now
by myself.
Well, now is the time to do it.
I know. Now is the time to do it. It is. I've been told that by about 6 people.
Now
I'm going to work on that as soon as I get my bursitis and my shoulder taken care of.
I don't want to say any bad words, but the stinky stuff hit the fan and it's circulating with this whole guardianship. I watched the Netflix last night, and that was unbelievable. The dirty money.
Yeah, if anybody's not aware of that, that's the Nets on. And it's the Charlie Thrash case. That's a big story down in San Antonio, Texas.
I will be getting some of them onto our radio show whenever I could work that out with Phil Ross to talk about that radio show, to talk about that whole Netflix series, which is going to be quite interesting to have Phil Ross back on our show again. He's the attorney for the Charlie Thrash case. So I'm hoping to get him back in the next week or two. Everything has kind of been upside down lately because of this COVID. All the people that we had that were coming on are all busy now, so I got to refocus and get things done again differently.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and let's see if I can find Kara. Should be coming back on. Let me see if I can find her back on here. Okay, Kara, call back into the show. I don't see her on here yet. Yes, she was, but something happened to her phone. Anyway, we'll wait for her to call back in. So, hold on a second. I'm hanging on. I can hear you, but I can't talk. Okay, so I'm gonna instruct her to call back in. Hold on. Okay, so she'll be calling back in a second. So, are you in lockdown too, Marcy?
Yes. We are all in lockdown as well. But, did you see that write-up on AARP with Carr, the talking about elder abuse?
Uh-huh.
It was an article in AARP that just came out with the Attorney General, the United States, Carr. He wrote it. And they're really down on anyone that defrauds the elder. And I even heard him speak in Sun City saying that the elders have worked really, really hard all their life to have enjoy their retirement, and that those actors that are going after their money, whether they are in law enforcement, they are going, you know, whether he doesn't care who it is, they're going to go after them. And and I heard him speak on that, and actually Frank has the video where it says it. So I would suggest if you would get the video from Doug and you can cut out the clip where he says it, that would be really, really good to post on your website, like a little small video clip in there, because this should really, I don't think people are going to be getting away with it as they have. So
that's our goal, you know, is between having all the advocates, and it's been kind of pushed back with all this COVID stuff going on, but like
you
say,
right now,
we have not you know, stopped advocating on the guardianship abuse, which is the perfect crime. It's the crime of the century. And it is as big as a crime as what these people have done to us with the new virus that came out. And we all know that it was a biochemical weapon that came out against the world. So this is a crime, in my opinion, because people in guardianship die just as fast, and it's just a different way of killing people, and it's horrible. And I hope it gets recognized real soon. We do have Kara back on with us. Kara, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I don't know what happens, but it just went.
Sometimes when, you know, if that happens to anybody, the best thing to do is to go ahead and hang back up, call back in, and hit that button. And I usually can try to find you through all the studio equipment that I have here. Anyway,
and by that button you mean 845-241-9962, and then hit a 1 to let us know that you want to join the conversation. And that way we can see that raise your hand, and then we know that you're, you know, once you've dialed in, that's 845-241-9962. If you hit 1, that's your way of saying, and I have something to say. I have a question. I have a comment. I'd like to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Oh, do you have anything to say?
Well,
I thought you were saying that you had to say stuff. I'm like, well, don't say. Okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah, the number again is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And that's for every day of the week. If that's on Wednesdays, we usually have the shows. So if that's the number that you want to speak on, let me know, and you can come on to the air, okay? So anyway, Kara's back with us again, and I thought that we would start off by thinking about that we mentioned earlier that anybody that's in those rooms with you and you're talking to them, they do write reports, right? Whether they're a chaplain, whether they're a nurse, huh?
Was in my home, and these are notes written down by the chaplains themselves, and this was in my home. This wasn't while I was in unit. This wasn't when I was in the hospice unit or facility. This was in my bedroom in my house.
Right.
And they wrote things that are not true. That's what surprised me the most. That were quite misleading, and it hurts me quite deeply, because my father was a minister, okay, and there was he did not share with anyone what someone in the congregation came to him and shared with him in confidence. That was held in strict confidence.
That's it.
So
well,
you really don't know who. Right? Go ahead, Robin.
Well, as it well ought to be, that's a sacred duty of a minister. It's between that person and the minister is to stand in the stead of the Holy Spirit, in the stead of God. You're to be able to speak to the minister, and that should be sacred. There should be no one involved in that conversation. Besides the minister and you and God. And that's, my grandfather was a Presbyterian minister. And I grew up understanding what it is to be a minister.
And it doesn't matter what denomination it is. It's across the board. It's a confidentiality, like between patient and doctor is supposed to be. It is. They're your confidant, and especially in your last days, your confessions from your soul, when you're knocking on that door, should not be written down for all eyes to see, except you. And that's just wrong. And to me, that's deeper than the doctor's betrayal, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would tend to agree, because that's, you're speaking of a higher authority than a doctor when you're speaking of a minister. If you have a belief that a minister is a minister of God and you have a belief in God, then that's the supreme authority. And to act on behalf of that authority is the most sacred task. It is the most sacred obligation. One who violates that is trespassing. In a way that no one else trespasses. People are not trustworthy oftentimes.
Right.
And a doctor certainly has a profit motive. And I hate to even bring it up. I don't like to talk about it, but it's the truth. A doctor has a profit motive. That in many cases, not with a good doctor, not with an honest doctor, but in many cases, a person with a doctor's credentials, whether they're real or phony, and there are phony doctors, will oftentimes realize and recognize that they have a profit motive, and that it is profitable for you not to be well, for you to be ill, and for them to do things that are harmful to you, because that way they have a bigger paycheck. If they give you a medicine that has side effects that they can then treat with another medicine, and then that has side effects, and they can treat that with another medicine, well, that just is a bigger and bigger and bigger paycheck. They can dig deeper and deeper and deeper into your pocket. And there are unscrupulous doctors who do that every day in this country
the
and throughout the world.
The thing that gets me is the doctor's job is not to play God, okay? And here, and they're supposed to abide by this patient, the confidentiality, patient, doctor, you know, privacy. And yet here, the people representing the ultimate authority, God himself, that is supreme confidence. I mean, that's the way I was brought up anyway.
Right.
Well, it should be. It certainly should be. And,
it is
travesty that it's not.
Going through my medical records, and I'm finding, you know, it says right here, psychosocial/spiritual updated comprehensive assessment signed by my chaplains.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, at the top of the pages. And it's signed by them, and it's got, you know, print the name, signature, chaplain, and the date. And then reported level, care plan, outcome, and then assist and support. And then it's got chaplain listened as patient talked about, and it's got all my secrets.
Let's bring in this one caller. 303 number. Hold on a second. 303 number. 303. You're live. You have a question or comment?
Hello. Thank you. Well, the comment was that Marcy. That's
Pardon?
William. Yes.
Go ahead.
Comment following Marcy's statement that AARP article. That's Attorney General William A. Barr. B A R R. Thank you, Marcy, for joining in with the comment.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, she wanted to do a correction. All right, good. Okay, that's good. That was, okay, let's see what that was about. Okay, that was, yeah, General William Barr, U.S. Attorney. Okay. Are you guys all still with me?
Thank you, caller. We always appreciate our fact check.
So it says U.S. Attorney General William Barr and Kellyanne Conway, assistant to the president and senior counselor, announced to a crowd of about 500 at the Sun City Center Committee Hall Tuesday. Barr announced that the creation of the National Elder Fraud Hotline during the Keeping Seniors Safe Summit. So that's good. Good. I'm glad they have a national fraud line. Maybe they can start busting some of these people that are abusing our elders and our disabled people. That's good.
Yes.
You know,
it does
sound like that we're getting some response, some responsiveness from some of the branches of government that we have not seen before, and I am very grateful for that. I hope that this is all something that is real and that actually is meaningful and that actually does put an end to some of the crime wave that we have been reporting on in our show for these many years since we began this show. Gosh, how many years has it been, Lulu? 5 years ago?
It's
been 4 years, I think. Yeah, we've been going on with this for so long. I do need to get that book out. And now's a good time to do it, I guess, you know. I'm going to be working on that in the next 2 days, like I said. Right now I'm suffering from bursitis in my shoulder, and it's very painful.
Oh.
So, of course, I get to go to the doctor's office. It's the only time I get to go out and do anything. So, and have you ever been to your doctor's offices lately? They all have masks on. They all have gloves on. All the furniture is taken out. There's only one or two people in there at a time. It's kind of scary. I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, it was like going into one of them horror shows, and I'm going to go experience that again tomorrow. You know, but I'm grateful for our doctors and all that are really working hard on all this, you know, COVID, and they're taking care of the people. And I just wish that everybody would pay attention to what they could be doing to help one another. You know, we're all in a crisis. And I must admit, this is the first time I've ever experienced anything like this as the nation has. You know, so it's quite shocking to know that you just can't go up to the store without your gloves and your mask on and all that, but
I'm really glad that, let's see if Hillary's with us. Hold on, I think Hillary just showed up. Hold on a second.
And, you know, I saw someone,
yeah, Hillary's with
I agree with the idea that we need to call it physical distancing rather than social distancing, because hopefully we can continue to communicate with each other through what we call social media, because germs don't transmit across the internet, so we can still be social with each other. Let's try not to have too much social distancing.
Yeah, it needs to be physical association. Anyway, we have Hillary's with
our
us.
Name.
Hillary?
Our
Hillary?
Neighbor.
Yes.
Hi, everyone.
Hold on.
Sorry, I'm so late. I apologize. So much going on. Hi, Kara.
Hello, Hillary. Speaking
How
of
you
the
doing?
Social, I'm hanging in there. We're doing really good here as far as the virus goes. And, you know, our neighbor, you know, set out a plate full of food on the table outside. And then I sent over some goodies in a trash bag for her, you know, not trash, but, you know, they were sealed in a trash bag for her. And we're, you know, taking care of each other here where we live. And, you know, here it's not as tightly locked down as other places. You can go to the store. You can, you know, go everywhere. But everyone's donating to the food pantries, and everyone's pitching in and doing their part.
That's good.
That's really good. But you know something, I really feel, and I'm really depressed about all the family members who can't see their family members on a good day because they're in guardianship. There's a woman in Manatee County, and she went to see her mother in between glass. She was outside. Her mother was inside. Her mother's in a fraudulent guardianship, and the guardian found out about it and said that you are in contempt of court and that you will be sanctioned to the daughter. It's absolutely insane. Getty in St. Pete, who hasn't seen his aunt Jenny in a year and a half, he wrote the guardian. He said, if I can't see her, if I can't speak to her on the phone, can you please send me a picture? Could you take a video? Could you do something so I know my aunt is okay? And, of course, no response. And this is a week later. It's sickening, isn't it?
It's sickening.
It is. It makes me sick to my stomach reading about how many times they attempted to take guardian of me and make me ward, as they wrote it in some of the pages. And at one time when they did take, you know, me to the facility, the nurse left a note on the door for the EMTs to, patient is alone with two bags, and basically go in and get me.
That's what these guardians
and
do.
That
they
was,
have someone to give them a heads up.
And that was not true.
That's
the whole thing. It's all lies.
But you know something, Kara? The thing is, it's bad enough. To me, no one, maybe people need help, but the thing is, everything, the tagline is always, this is for the best interest of the ward. We want to do the best interest for the best thing for people who are in guardianship. Well, listen, we're in a pandemic. Don't you think that anyone, especially people who haven't seen their family members or spoken to them, don't you think they should be allowed a phone call? We're not asking to even get these people out of guardianship. We're asking for a phone call.
That's wrong. I can't even begin to tell you how wrong that is on so many levels. It's a violation of human rights. It's a violation of our constitutional rights. It's a violation of our civil rights. I have a saying, the world has become so full of people, there are very few human beings left. Because in order to be a human being, you have to have humanity. And that's sorely lacking. in this world today, and to see my country that I love so much lacking humanity and robbing people of their basic rights to water, food, is unconscionable, and it should be, we should, oh, I can't even begin to tell you what I want to do with these people. And I'm going to go with everything that I have, and that is a promise. I will do what I can, and
right.
I will find a way.
And
shake
we're, yeah,
that
and
tree.
We're with you.
Their ivory towers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all in that together. So exposing these people that are abusing our families, or and especially
exactly.
the ones in guardianship too, man. People in hospice, you know, that don't need to be there. It's a disgrace. It really is. You know, and I think
that's
the goal of everybody on this show is to expose what is really going on. Now, if we had as much news media talking about this COVID as we have guardianship abuse, we would be having something done about it. But this is like 5 years to get the word out and more. Some people have been doing this for longer, and the word still isn't out. There's something seriously wrong with news media that will not take it. And I can say that it's probably because it has to do with funding, and it has to do with money, it has to do with profit. You know, it's too profitable.
You know, all about, everything is about profit. They're all bought
but,
and paid
but
for
really,
it.
You know something, in the end, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And a few guardian advocates, we went to an event maybe a month ago with, you know, Attorney General Barr, Florida Attorney General Moody, whoever the other high-end dignitaries or politicians are, and everything was about elder abuse. Elder abuse, what we're going to do, and what are they doing for people. It's almost like guardianship is the black sheep of the family. All they talk about is doing everything to help the elderly, but they've done nothing, not one thing.
What I want to know is what about prevention? What about how to head them off at the pass? You know, cut the snake off at the head, and how to stop and prevent the falling prey to this.
Honestly, I think the only thing, and I'm sorry for talking so much, but I'm really angry tonight. I am just so angry. Thousands of people are dying. The elderly are so susceptible to this COVID-19. There are people being held captive any day of the week, and their family can't even see them. But the only thing, honestly, Kara, that I've seen that maybe will stop a guardianship, and don't quote me, is a preemie guardian. And you name 5, 10 people. Because we know power of attorneys, wills, healthcare surrogates, they do nothing.
Yeah, you know, and I'm out of words to figure out what the right thing to do is anymore, because, you know, if some corrupt attorneys or the courts or whoever wants your parents or your, they're going to get it one way or another.
Hillary,
my
friend Robert would like to say something, if that's okay with y'all. He was here with me throughout this whole event.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Luann, Robin,
Hi.
Hillary.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Go ahead.
When Kara finally was asking for these records, this person that she reached at the facility was just one in a million that did not know she could actually print these records and send them to Kara. And as she was reading them, she had to call Kara 3 times to make sure, did this happen to you? And she said, the only people that ever get these records is after someone has died and a lawyer or a family member requests them. This is the first time for that girl to have ever had sent records to a hospice survivor.
Wow.
And she got four.
I mean, yeah, there's so few and far between. I mean, again, it's absolutely miraculous that with your help and Kara's strength that you got out of hospice.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
For that, I wanted to interject that because it was very important that we found the right person at that facility that was not trying to hide something, whether she was new, whether she was young, or just understood that it was a person's right. She got those papers. That's why we have that data now, to be able to pronounce it to the people that listen to your show and tell
mm-hmm.
them this is what we're doing.
And this is what's going on. This is what has happened. This is what is happening. And this will continue to happen until we stand up and say enough. And it's not giving up. Keep fighting for the records. Keep fighting. Keep pushing on. And don't give up. And don't give in either.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Because if we don't, nothing will change. You know, and
exactly.
It takes people like us to keep fighting for what is right.
Exactly. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Period. End of discussion. And if people can't see that or can't understand that, then that they're the problem. They're part of the problem, not the solution.
Right. Now isn't there some way that you could sue these people? I mean, I would be thinking about fraud, of what they committed. You know, you could sue people on fraud. I mean, if anybody has any ideas, I mean, I don't know if the statute of limitations has passed or what you could do for that, but I'd be talking to some attorneys about it to find out. Ones that you trust, of course. You don't want to just anybody, you know.
Right. One of the ways I've been doing some research, and I finally spoke with the gentleman with the law firm, and there's one of two ways that they're going to try to help me, I hope, and that is, how can I file a lawsuit against someone while I'm medically held captive, and incapacitated by those very people? How can I sue them during that time? So the statute of limitations, I hope I can get that and not held true to the 2 years after start of care. Since I was on hospice for 2.5 years, then that statute of limitations ran out. Well, maybe not, since I was incapacitated during that time and through the withdrawals as long as I was on those medications. So I'm hoping I have a way to go after them for that. I will continue to go after the IRS, that department. Another way that I am going to go after them is to sue the pharmaceutical companies, okay,
good.
The pharmacy, because they delivered deadly medications to my door, my front door of my home, without abandonment, without danger of
any,
this
any
or
regard
danger
to your well-being. Yes,
exactly. And like, back to cut the snake off at the head, if it were not for these pharmaceutical companies that give a free pass and kickbacks and everything else to
mm-hmm.
these facilities and to the physicians that are
yes.
the new drug pushers of this country and the world, then they would not have as much freedom to murder and commit genocide of the disabled and the elderly and the disadvantaged
mm-hmm.
as they do the people on hospice and in chronic care facilities. They would not be
right.
able to do that if they did not have the tools to do so, which would be the deadly medications, Roxanol, Dilaudid, morphine, and crushing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and no one, honestly, Kara, no one knows the extent of it. Everyone thinks, as far as I know, I only know that this is not the case because of people like you standing up and speaking the truth. Everyone thinks, oh, hospice, it's the best place, you know, caring, loving people. That is not always true. 99.9% of the time, no. It is a money-making machine.
Absolutely.
And that money-making machine cares less, cares nothing about you.
Not only that, I mean, I've got a whole, I was shocked to learn also the injuries that they would write down when Robert would be gone. And then, you know, all of a sudden I had, you know, injuries. And then it's amazing to me. And then the memories, you know, that I personally have of some of the incidents, but then reading about so many countless others is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Because no one ever
thought
that you would be there to dispute any of this.
Right. And on top of that, but they wrote it down. That's what is I'm having a difficult time dealing with, is that they wrote it down.
Yeah.
And there's a gap in time. I mean, I was doing fine, for example, on the 31st of October, and then I was unresponsive by the next shift. And breathing four breaths, respiratory was 4, with apnea, moments of 30 seconds, 20 to 30 seconds of apnea. How can that happen?
Well, it's a good thing you're around to really talk about this because, you know, you don't get to talk to so many hospice survivors. You really don't. I mean,
no,
you're very lucky.
I've never heard of a hospice survivor, ever.
Yeah. And the thing,
well, of course, hospice is end-of-life care, and that's the whole idea of hospice.
They had my funeral planned. They even planned my cremation. And said, no family. They said, I sent you a copy of that, Luann. No family.
Yeah.
And Robert's out of town for days. And that's when they came in, swooped me up, took me off to the unit. They even, you know, left the name of the cremation, you know, company. And then I called them. Because they wrote the number down to the crematory.
God
and so
God.
I called them, and they said, oh, well, and I just kept pounding and pounding at that door. And I wouldn't give up until the director contacted me. And then come to find out, they only go through 2 life insurance companies. But, yes, they deal with hospice agencies.
Yeah, and Robert came and actually swooped you back up and took you back home, too.
Yes, he did, but they had me in that facility 2 separate times in the same month.
Yeah.
And
well, they were planning you to be dead, weren't they?
Yes, and they tried, and it's very apparent, and I can't believe what, you know, the things I'm reading about my own demise. And here, my urine was dark tea colored with brown sediment in the bottom of the Foley, and it's amazing. And then they crushed, dilaudid, and mixed it with H2O, and used a syringe and got it down me. Even though it said in there, no visible signs of distress or pain.
Yeah.
And they,
oh, boy. Yeah, they were working on your execution. It is a miracle that we're able to talk to you today. Because they were They planned and took all the steps to execute you.
Yes. And I mean, I'm seriously do not understand why I cannot go to a district attorney and file attempted murder charges against these people. I do not understand, and I'm hoping that I can. I'm seriously contemplating it. However, you know, I am still disabled, but now that I've got the documentation, I've got the evidence. But then I don't know who's sleeping with who, as far as who's in bed with who and who's watching each other. I don't trust the judicial system. I don't trust the courts anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I second that, boy.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I understand completely. I, in my own life, have had situations come up at times where there was some dirty dealing going on, and the fact of the matter was that the way that things shook out, there was a judge that was involved, and because that judge was involved, it was impossible to find any attorney who would bring that case to court, who would pursue that, would advise me on it. It was impossible. It was like running into a brick wall to try to pursue that lawsuit because there was a judge involved and no one wanted to go up against that judge. And every attorney said, hey, look, if you think I'm going against my longtime friend and colleague for you, you're crazy, buddy. That's not going to happen. And,
right.
You know, once
I'm
I heard that enough, I had
I'm
to say, well, I'll
so
just be a crime fighter.
There's no way to go county. I'm not going to go city. I'm not going to go county district attorney. I'm going to go to the United States district attorney with this.
Yeah, you know,
right.
And I just had someone send to me, how about talking to Attorney Phil Ross down there? He is, he's the one that starred on the Netflix show. And he has been on our radio a couple times. His name is Phil Ross.
Okay.
I think maybe for him to see what he suggests.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you for that. I mean, right now I'm kind of still overwhelmed and still going through all of this.
And talking about Phil Ross, did you know I just got an email from him, and he said San Antonio lawyer again sued by the state bar. Again, twice now. And it says that for the second time in 6 months, San Antonio lawyer Phil Ross has been sued in state district court by the state bar of Texas for alleged serial misconduct in a guardianship case involving an elderly person. Can you believe this? This is the second time.
That's why.
We're going to get him back on the radio show, hopefully next week.
You know, just forget
the truth.
I don't trust anyone. I mean, I do not trust anyone. I mean, that's why maybe the United States District Attorney, not a state,
right,
not a county, but the United States District Attorney. I have tried the Office of Inspector General. I have tried SHIP. I have tried CMS. I have tried all of these other avenues. Nothing. All to no avail.
Right. You know, and according to this, Phil Ross again. The attorney Phil Ross said that according to the bar's recent suit, Ross's behavior included habitual and intentional disregard for court orders, misrepresentations to the court, fraud upon the court, conflicts of interest, dishonesty, and deceit. This is what they're claiming that Phil Ross has done. I mean, his reputation.
Prove it.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Slander. And it's malicious.
Yeah,
intensive.
You know what? And I want to get back onto a radio show again because this is the second time. I thought once was enough, but a second time again. I'm going to have to post this on Facebook, too.
We're going to have to keep him into the light and keep this on there because it's been a big case out there with the Netflix Dirty Movie. It was on Netflix. It's Dirty Money, and it's called Guardians, Inc. He was the attorney on there that was representing the Charlie Thrash case, which is a huge case. So this to me, of them keep going after the same attorney, even though he has all these documents in order, he's got all this stuff that he's done right, and the state bar keeps trying to take him in and get away with his license because to them, this attorney is a big threat of being a good attorney to all these clients. That's the only thing that Joe Ross has done.
Well, it's the oldest trick in the book.
Good attorney.
It's any good debater knows that if you cannot debate against the facts that someone brings forward, then character assassination, although unethical, can be quite effective. And so that's the technique that they're using on Bill Ross. They cannot debate him on the facts. They cannot cope with the fact that he's bringing facts to court that prove the wrongdoing of a group of attorneys on the other side, the bar in that state. They obviously don't have an answer for the arguments that he's laying down in court, so they attack him and try to discredit his credibility, and in that way, say, look, you can't trust anything that person says because they can't argue with the truth that he brings forward that proves that these people are guilty of crimes that they are accused of. And so, that's what they do in the case of anyone that brings forward a case in any of these cases. Oftentimes, over and over and over, I have seen and heard these lawyers using that technique. If one of the things that happens in many cases when a family member is a guardian is the people who want the assets that are controlled by the person who's under that guardianship will slander and libel that guardian start all kinds of malicious rumors and bring them to court. Say all kinds of falsehoods, bring those to court, say, judge, this person can't be a guardian because they're a drug addict and they're a horrible person. And they're just like we heard earlier in the show, when they'll put someone on drugs that causes their behavior to become psychotic. And then they'll say, oh, look, this person's behavior is psychotic under the care of this guardian. So we need to have our guardian in charge. The judge goes, oh yes, obviously so. Let's so bet, and now that money comes into the court to a guardian who is on the take, who can distribute it to her lawyer friends or his lawyer friends, and slip a little to the judge under the table.
Right. Well, you know what? I listen to a lot of these attorneys that do come up and say that the bar has taken them down. We've had 5 or 6 attorneys on our show that this has happened to. And there's been quite a bit of going on. Go ahead.
Regarding all of these attorneys, they're representing loved ones who have someone under guardianship, correct?
Right.
Right.
Okay. Therefore, the loved ones who are under guardianship are under control, and they cannot speak for themselves. So basically, correct me if I'm wrong, it becomes a he said, she said game of who's representing that one person because they can't represent themselves anymore, correct?
Right.
Right.
Okay, well, I can represent myself.
That's right.
And
right.
So
that's right.
I would like them to hear me, and I dare them to come after me with any kind of slander when I have in writing everything that backs up what I'm saying. And I'm still here to tell the tale for not just me, but for all of these people they're not allowing to speak and therefore tossing it around like some kind of child's toy ball back and forth, bantering and dragging it out, making money off of hearsay, and then chalking it up to hearsay with these undermined ways of slander, defamation of character, and everything else. And meanwhile, the loved ones under guardianship are paying the ultimate price until the ultimate price has been paid, and then there's no one left to tell the tale.
Right.
I did.
Exactly.
You know what, Charlie?
Reduced to ashes.
What Phil Ross said, Phil Ross told the news that I intend to defend myself and bring to the light of truth what happened to Charlie Thrash. The story is not over, he said. I trust that when a jury hears the entire case, which is going to go to a jury, not only will I be vindicated by the news will represent itself, and the claims against me are false. And I love that about Phil Ross, that he goes in and he tells what's wrong with what's the system. You know? So
right.
We're going to get him back onto our show. We're going to try to get him back on. But it's all interesting on how, Kara, you talked about the system and the courts, and you're absolutely right that even when attorneys are having problems with what, like, we're having problems, there's a huge problem in the United States and across the country, the same as this coronavirus, but it has to do with our judicial system. You know, so
it's
that's what we've been trying to fight and work on too. But
yes, it's a pandemic of a different kind.
It's a pandemic.
We're not dealing with the virus, we're dealing with parasites. And that's what I call these people. They're parasites.
Well, that's perfectly fair characterization. It's perfectly fair because that's exactly what is going on. They attach themselves to someone and suck their blood dry. And, of course, by their blood, I mean not only their lifeblood, not only their actual physical existence as a human being living in a human being's body, but all of the physical assets and monies and properties of that individual are also sucked dry by these parasites. So that's a perfect characterization, and it is very fair to call them that.
Yes, and I give kudos to the attorneys that are standing up. I give kudos to y'all and to everyone else who is rising up and bringing forth awareness to this and speaking and fighting tooth and nail and giving everything that they have to right these wrongs.
Right.
And
we have about 5 minutes left to our radio show, and I'm glad we brought this up about Phil Ross, because that's one example of how we do have some really good attorneys that are fighting for the rights of these victims. And I will absolutely talk to him about what he could do for you also, because he's known as one of them tycoons out there, one of the best attorneys they have out there. And, of course, they want to try to take him down, and I've had many conversations with him. And we kind of want to keep him into the light all the time. He was on the Dirty Movie. If you can, any of you, go to Netflix, go look up. It's season two or whatever it was.
It's
episode
Dirty
4
Money,
Guardians
Dirty
of Dirty Money,
Money
Guardians
Dirty
Inc.
I
and you'll see
and
him. He comes
right.
on about halfway through the show. He comes on about
uh-huh.
halfway through the show. You definitely want to see him. And there's also Elisa Bellinger, I think her name is. She's also up in what's that other state up there? You guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm thinking about it right now. I can't
it's
even get Needham. Through it. Where's
Michigan?
She at? Michigan.
Needham.
Is she in Michigan? No, Massachusetts.
No, she's not in Massachusetts. Needham, Massachusetts, at least is
yeah.
where the older gentleman is. And if I could just really push for everyone to watch Dirty Money Season 2, it's under TV shows, and I think it's Episode 5, but Luann's right, it's Guardian Inc. It basically is nuts
yeah.
On guardianship corruption.
That's extremely
Netflix,
powerful. So, and
yeah.
Phil Ross is in there with the Charlie Thrash case. And it's a huge case, and it's a big representation of what is going on in America, because all these families are going through it.
Mine went through it. They're going through it. But Phil Ross does a tremendously good job on that, and so did all the Charlie Thrash family in there as well, because it's an epidemic, and everybody needs to watch that. So, Kara, tell us what you want to see that happens to people. I mean, give us a closing talk on what you want to see happen.
I want to see these people held accountable. I want our younger generation to understand what's going to happen to them if they don't step up to the plate and quit playing their games, quit living in their me first attitude world, and understand they're going to be next. And if you don't stand up and pay attention, then you could be these parasites' next victim.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good thing. I mean, absolutely. Robin, what do you have to say?
Well, I think I just have to echo what Kara is saying. We are blinded by the media culture in our society oftentimes, and it is very easy for people to be in a world where they are fed a stream of news that is carefully curated for them so that they believe whatever they are taught to believe, both in schools and in the media and online. Oftentimes what we don't realize is that the information online is oftentimes carefully selected for us and hand-fed, like with a spoon to a baby, right to us. If we have an opinion that people that have money believe is malleable, that is changeable, well, we'll be fed exactly the news that will make us believe whatever it is they want us to believe. And in this way, we are being massaged and prodded into a particular way of looking at the world. And what that means is we are lulled to sleep and unable to see how we're being manipulated. And so we may hear these stories and say, oh, it can't be that bad. Oh, we live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. This is America. That can't be happening here. And they just sort of dismiss it. And that is the danger that we are trying to overcome with this radio show, and what we're trying to do with this is let people know, no, don't be sheep. Don't fall asleep. Be awake and listen up and learn for yourself what really is going on in the world, because you could be the next victim.
Right.
Exactly.
And as long as you are a follower, you will never be a leader of your own body, soul, and mind.
Exactly. And Hillary?
Yes?
You still with us?
What do you
have to say about all this?
Well, of course, number one, Kara, I have to give you so much, I don't know, I don't want to get emotional, so much credit that you are the only person, I'm sure, that has made it out with the help of your boyfriend, Hospice, the last stop on the train, as it's called in New York, and you are fighting not only for yourself, justice for yourself, you're fighting for other people. So you are my hero, and I thank you, because I am like you, and you are like me, and Robin and Luann, we're all the same. I want justice for you and everyone. So, again, we will never stop fighting, and thank you so much for coming on the radio show. And, again, Robin and Luann, thank you for even having this radio show that gives so
Absolutely.
Many people an outlet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just to let y'all know, I am not done researching, and I have just skimmed the top of these files, and I still have another hospice agency's worth of medical records, and another agency claims to have lost all of my medical records, so I'm just getting started.
That's good.
You go, girl.
Like I say, justice requires transparency and accountability, and never, never give up. We say that at the end of every one of our radio shows, and it's And it's been proven not to give up. I mean, hopefully this coronavirus will subside and it'll go away and it won't kill as many people as they're predicting. Everybody, don't go socially away from people, physically away from people, you know, and wash your hands. If you have to, make your own. If you can find some rubbing alcohol and some aloe vera gel, that's all you need. And if you want to, put some essential oils in there also to make your own hand sanitizer. Rubbing alcohol is 70%, and you also mix that with aloe vera. You can have your own hand sanitizer. And I put in about 4 other essential oils with it, and that's what I use every day. Make sure you use that if you cannot get to wash your hands. And keep your hands away from your face. So everybody says that all the time. So anyway, I hope you all stay safe out there. Please stay your distance from everybody. And Kara, I'm just so glad you're still here. And keep on trucking is all I can say. Keep on doing your research, and I'll get in touch with you with Phil Ross, and I'll see what he has to say about who you can contact out there as well. Okay?
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you all so much. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you so much. We love you. We honor you. And we appreciate you, not only you, but all of our listeners as well, and all of our co-hosts as well. And especially you, Kara, you are a hero, and we appreciate you.
Right.
Thanks.
We're going to play track loop. We're going to play a track loop from Danny Tate. Give us at the end of our shows. So here you go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.